Sorry about that. There we are. Oh, good morning. It's wonderful to see you as we come together in this place to celebrate World Communion Sunday. There are lots of things happening in the life of the church. I want to make sure to read your bulletin to make sure you see all of those. One of the things I want to tell those of you with children are staying in worship with us today for Communion Sunday. There are activities up here that they can feel free to come up and take them and come back to their seat or stay up here, whichever they would like to do. But we like to have them with us as we worship in Communion Sunday. Also want to let you know that we are still collecting $20 for pairs of gloves for Thanksgiving in the park, and that will take place November 3rd. You'll find the table for that outside. There's all kinds of things happening out there today. You may have noticed on your way in. I would encourage you on your way out to stop and see who's got what going on there. I think there's some leftover salmon to buy. It was frozen. It's okay. And there is, I don't know what else is going on out there. Well, crop walk, and we'll get to that in a minute. But lots of things happening in the life of this church. And if there's something that you wish we were doing and you don't see happening, let me know. We'll think about ways to integrate more things in the life of the church. But we are a busy place. I would like to invite Jean Bowen to come forward. Jean is the chair of the SPR, and she has a happy announcement for you. I emphasize happy.
To be able to announce that we have hired Larissa Huffman, who you already know, as our children and family ministry. She's going to take on youth as well. Her title changes from children and youth ministry, Children, youth and family ministry is her new title. We are so tickled. And the continuation of the of her being in the lives of our children is going to be so important, because so many of our youth, she was with them when they were much younger. This is going to be a really fabulous fit for us. We're so excited to have her. Thanks, Larissa.
We are excited. One of the things that people have told me is this church supports the youth. Good. Because Larissa is going to need your help as she continues doing children's ministry, but also as she branches into youth ministry. And there's lots of ways to support the youth, and one of them is with your time. They're a great group of young people, and if you would like to volunteer time to help them out, see Larissa. She's got ideas, but would love to hear more from all of you. Steve, you're standing up. You're ready.
Yes, ma'am. So, this is World Communion Sunday. With everybody around the world is having communion, sharing communion. And so I thought, well, we might as well also have our congregation take part in our communion anthem. So y'all get to do some singing. And what you see up on the screen right now is the only thing that you'll have to sing. And when we actually get to that anthem, Tula will be right here. And every time she does this, you sing that. Okay? It's not too hard. So listen to it once. Okay? So let me sing with it. Here we go. So here's how it goes. I'll sing it once and then you guys will sing it as well. Here we go. And in the breaking of the bread, deep peace, heaven's feast on earth is spread, deep and lasting peace. Shall we give that a try together? Ready, and. In the breaking of the bread, deep peace, heaven's feast on earth is spread, deep and lasting peace. So when we start this, she will sing it. She will sing it one time alone, just to refresh your memory, because 20 minutes is a long time to remember something. And then you'll come in on the repeat, and she'll bring you in. Thank you so much.
I think you all will be wonderful additions to the choir from your seats. I love that the words there about heaven's feast on earth is spread as we remember and know that not everyone feasts on this day, that there are many who experience food insecurity throughout the year. One of the ways that we as a church can make a difference in that is through Crop Walk. And you'll notice that there's a nice display out there. This year you can walk, or you can rock, or you can just support others who are walking and rocking in this ministry. It's a wonderful ministry that's been around a long time. And I believe that today we're going to show you a video, we hope, about Crop Walk. Can we see that, please? So if you can help out, do. If you can offer prayer, do. If you can walk or rock, do that. But be involved in any way that you can to help people who are hungry right here in Boulder County. I invite you now to take a moment to greet each other in the name of Christ. Welcome someone maybe you've never met before. Take time to say hello to each other.
So, since it is World Communion Sunday, our introit today is a table prayer, and this is to the tune of Old 100. There's two different ways to sing this, so we're singing the old familiar Old 100. Standing for our call to worship and our opening hymn. Around the world, people gather to break bread and pour the cup. Around the world, the broken body is made whole. Around the world, the banquet of God is prepared for the table. Let us worship together. Let us share God's bounty.
Kids that want to come up and join us, you are welcome to. Sit right here. Wow, guys, there's some special things out here today, right? Some things we don't usually see. Zayden right away noticed. What did you notice right away, Zayden? The table over there, right? The tables that are out. That's right. We noticed those. We've got three of them. Why do you think we have tables out today? Do you see what's on them? Underneath those napkins, you can kind of see what's there. It's God's bread. That's right. It's a good way to put it there. Is we're going to celebrate. It's a communion Sunday. That's right, Zayden. We are celebrating communion today, like we do every month right here at church. But today's a special day called World Communion Sunday, so it's a little bit bigger. But communion, let's think about that communion for a minute. We've talked about this before, right? Do you guys, before we talk about communion, let me ask you guys something. Do you guys have a problem remembering things? Sometimes? Never? You remember everything you're told? Wow, I'm impressed. I do not have that good of memory. I often forget things. So there have been ways that people have used to remember stuff for a long time. Some people will say tie a string around your finger so you'll remember whatever it is you need to remember. I think, though, that if I tied a string on my finger, I'd forget what I tied a string on my finger for, right? But that's one way. We have post-it notes, these sticky notes that you can write notes on and then hang them all over the place. Around your house or in your car or on your school books or your desk and help you remember things from that way too. You gotta remember to read the notes though to do that one, right? Then we have this calendar here. What does a calendar tell us? All kinds of important dates, right? If I've got an appointment, I can put it on here and then I remember to go, right? If I have a meeting to go to or something fun's happening or a birthday, I could write it on my calendar. It's another way. And then of course, phones, right? Phones, tablets, computers, all that stuff can give us alarms and remind us when we need to remember things. Well, that brings me back to communion, because for communion, we are remembering. Do you remember what we're remembering on communion? Remembering God. And what? Remembering God. So remember, the story from communion was way back when, with Jesus and his disciples, right? And they were sitting around the table for the Last Supper story. We've heard this before, right? Yeah. And Jesus picked up the bread, and do you remember what he said? Anybody know what he said? He said, take this bread and remember me. Eat and remember me. And then he picked up the cup. Do you remember what he said? What do you think? He said, drink and remember me. That's right. He said, here's the bread, here's the wine, drink and remember me. So 2,000 years later, we are still doing this to help us remember Jesus. Pretty cool, huh? I don't think we need a string. We don't need a post-it note. We don't need our calendar. we remember with what these symbols mean to us. We remember Jesus, remember what he taught us, and remember that he came here and he did some pretty awesome things, and then he died so that we could be with God forever and ever, right? Pretty cool things to remember. So today, when you guys take communion, remember, okay? Can you do that? Okay, can we say a prayer? Say, hey God, help us to remember. Help us to remember your love and Jesus. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
As we come to, you may be seated. Sorry. We got to work on our stand-ups and sit-downs. As we come to this time of communion, as we come to this time of offering, I apologize, I want to know that there are many people you see offering gifts this morning. We have some youth helping us read scripture, and the youth will soon be coming to receive your offering. We have the bells this morning, and what a gift. We don't usually have you on communion day, so nice to have you here. And we have guests today that you'll be hearing in just a minute. A string quartet will be with us. Do you have a name? Okay, a string quartet will be with us. And we're glad to have you adding to our worship as well. So as you give of your gifts, I would encourage you to stop and to pray and offer that which God would place upon your heart. The ushers come forward.
Thank you. Please join me in the please join me in the scriptural meditation.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts
be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, and you can find that on Bible page 933. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worst. For, to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be fractions among you, for only so it will become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper, for when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show concept for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without disconcerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
This morning we are finishing a series on the basics, back to basics, those Christian basics, the tenets of our faith, the things that make us Christian people, or as we talked about last week, maybe followers of Jesus. I've given a few pieces of homework throughout this series, and some of you have done that, and some of you are still thinking about it. And I would tell you that just last week, I received from someone a Lord's Prayer they had rewritten, and it was powerful, and I appreciate people sharing with me those. It helps me understand, maybe in a different way, who you all are as well. This week, we are talking about communion as our basic tenet, and I was told that I forgot something in this series. I probably forgot a lot of things, but I talked about God a few weeks ago when my friend was here, and we shared our thoughts about God, and just last week, we talked about Jesus, and someone said, we're Trinitarian. Where's the Holy Spirit? It's today. I'm sneaking it in. Yes, we're talking about communion, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the work of the Spirit in the midst of this discussion of communion. Because for me, the Holy Spirit and communion go hand in hand. That's where I first really experienced the Spirit. So we'll talk about that. This is World Communion Sunday, where we talk about communion with everyone around the world. And when I tell you a story in a minute, you'll see why I will never get rid of World Communion Sunday. Not all churches celebrate it anymore. It's kind of getting old. It started in 1934 when the Presbyterian pastor started the idea, and we want to thank him and any of you who used to be Presbyterians for bringing this idea forward. By 1940, the National Council of Churches had adopted it, and all the major mainline denominations were doing World Communion Sunday. If you remember United States history, in 1940, we needed reasons to come together as a country. We needed reasons to sit down and remember together Jesus' table. We needed to remember who we are. I said just now, did you hear me? We need to come together at Jesus' table. And that's important, because here in the Methodist Church, we don't think it's the Methodist table. We think it's Jesus' table. And we don't care if you're a member of this church or any church. You just have to want to come. You're all invited to the table always. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done. You're invited to the table. You'll see our children will come forward to receive communion, because it doesn't matter how old you are either. I love seeing children involved in communion, and I'm glad that they are here with us today. Communion is a time of remembering. It's a time of remembering Jesus and all that he did for us, but it's also a time just of remembering Jesus loves me. When I serve communion to children, I'll say something to them like, remember, Jesus loves you, instead of that whole body and blood stuff, because really, what does that mean, and isn't it kind of icky? Especially if you're a child. But I say that, and I didn't realize how fully I've said that to children when they come to communion, until one day when I did a communion service for a disciple Bible study. And there were all the adults were there, and childcare hadn't shown up that day. And so someone had their 7-year-old with them, and I just went over and said, would you like to help me serve communion? And the 7-year-old nodded, and I thought she would just stand there and hold the bread and look cute. I didn't expect anything more from her. I just wanted to involve her. And every person that came to that child was given a piece of bread, and she said, remember, Jesus loves you. She had heard that message and shared it with all of those who came to her. Remember, Jesus loves you. So if that's the only message we took away from communion, that would be pretty good, wouldn't it? If we just truly remembered that in our hearts, that Jesus loves us. But there's a lot more to communion. There's some really difficult theology around communion. Some churches believe in something called transubstantiation. That's a good crossword word, transubstantiation. And what that means is once the priest or the pastor blesses the bread and the cup, that they truly become the body and blood of Jesus, that they actually are those things. You'll find that in the Catholic tradition and some other traditions. We don't have that tradition or that understanding. When I bless the elements, we believe that it's just an invitation for Jesus to be present at our table. an invitation for Jesus to be here with us, in our midst and in our presence. So when I tell the children, remember, Jesus loves you, that's what we want everyone to remember at this table. But that's truly what this is about. The whole transubstantiation, it got some people in trouble in the very early church. In the early days of church, people would come out and say, oh boy, we're happy. We just ate the body of Christ. Not a good evangelism tool. Because people heard that to be taken literally. Somehow they thought we'd saved parts and that we were literally, no, we never have done that. And that idea was not friendly to invite stranger in. We believe that Jesus is present at our table. And that's an important piece of it all, to remember that, to remember that story. But there's something else about communion, and I think this is what Paul is writing about. Did you hear what Annie read for you? Oh my goodness, I condemn you. Ooh, you're not doing it right, says Paul. And that's scary stuff, because is there a right or a wrong way to do communion? Well, Paul seemed to think so, but what was that about? Well, the church at Corinth was doing everything wrong. If you ever want to read how not to be church, read Corinthians. Because Paul says to them, you didn't do it right because you forgot. You come and you eat a lot. You get drunk on the wine. You forget that there are people who are hungry. You are wrong, church. And I wonder what we're supposed to be doing today. How are we supposed to come to communion? I'm looking out here, and I'm getting to know some of you better and better as the time goes by that I've been here serving with you in church. And I know one thing for sure. Not one single one of you is perfect yet. Not yet, anyway. Maybe some of you are getting closer, but none of you are exactly there. I also know that some of you came to church this morning not really in a right mind, not happy, not feeling things the way you should maybe to be at church. Maybe you kind of weren't sure you wanted to get here, but you thought, oh, I may as well. Maybe you weren't having a good day to start with. Is that the way to come to communion? Maybe not, but at least you're here. And in my mind, that's a big start. No matter how you came to be here, at least you're here. And Paul wasn't talking about that particularly. He was saying you forgot. Because right after this comes 1 Corinthians 12, where he starts to talk about spiritual gifts. And you know what they were doing in Corinth? They were saying things like, I have the best spiritual gift. Yours is okay. And you don't even have one. Let's line up in order. Best spiritual gifts to worst. And Paul said, no, you are all equal at this table. And they would say things like, well, I have a lot more money than you do, so I get a better place. And Paul said, no. Have you taken care of those who are hungry? Then come to the table. It wasn't a feast or a party. It was a remembrance. And Paul said we are to remember just as Jesus told us to. So if you came here today, no matter what your mood, but you came here today and you are ready to remember, you're welcome at this table. You're welcome at this table because this is a means of grace. What's that? Well, we talk about sacraments, and the Methodist Church has two, communion and baptism, and that's the only two we recognize as sacraments. And we recognize those because those are the two that in the Bible we see Jesus actually doing. We actually see him having communion and setting out the Last Supper and actually being baptized, so we use those. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that are important, other things that are important, and it doesn't even mean that churches who have different sacraments are wrong. It's just the way we do it. It's an important piece for us. John Wesley said it's a means of grace, but what we would also say is that these things are an outward and visible sign of an inner working grace. The bread and the cup, we can see those, we can touch those, and we're so happy so far we haven't knocked them over because they're there and they're real. But it's about what happens on the inside that matters. On World Communion Sunday, oh, about 24 years ago, I did not want to go to church. Didn't want to go there. I had three small children. The oldest was 7 years old, and it was one of those mornings. I don't know if any of you have had those mornings, but I bet you have, when you can't get the hair bows in right, and there's no two shoes that match each other, and you really are thinking, just forget it. but you want to get to church, and then you pick up your toddler on the way out the door because he will not come with you, and you pick him up maybe a little too strongly, and there comes breakfast back all over your nice Sunday dress. Have you had that morning? Some of you had it today, even, maybe. But you remember those days when it's just so hard to get to church. But I got to church that day, and I was glad to be there. You know why? Sunday school and nursery. I was so happy to put those children there. Maybe that makes me a bad mom. I just think it makes me an honest mom. Any of you who raise children know there are those times when you are glad to hand them over to somebody else. You are glad. And for those of you who haven't raised children, thank you for taking them sometimes. Because sometimes you just need to get away. You just need to say, somebody else deal with this because I can't. That's how I got to church that day, that World Communion Sunday. And then even worse, I sit down in the pew and the person sits next to me is a visitor. Yeah, a visitor. They were sitting in somebody else's seat and they didn't know where they were supposed to be and I was not happy. And this person leans over to me as communion's starting and says, I don't know what to do. What do you mean? But I realized, and I said, well, you just follow me. Just follow me. I'll show you where we go and how to do it. That was about as nice as I managed that day, and I feel bad now. I wasn't a pastor that day, so I didn't have to be as nice. But we should always welcome the visitor among us, shouldn't we? We should always help them understand how we do these things, but I didn't really care. And then I kind of started to wonder, how are we going to do communion today? Is it going to be that fast way? Because I am ready to go to lunch. I am not feeling this, and I want to be done. Any of you ever come to communion? You don't have to show your hands, but have you ever come to communion that way, thinking, would she just move on so we can get this going and go home? I understand that because I was there. Guess what the pastor chose that day, the kind where you used to line up along the rail and everybody got communion and then the pastor blessed us and we went back to our seats and then we waited while another group came. There is no slower way to do communion in all of the world. And of course, that day, we had communion that way. So we go through the line and finally it's my turn with my visitor neighbor who I said, please come with me. Inside, I was like, ugh. We came, we lined up. Finally, it felt like finally, I got my little cup and my little piece of bread, and I waited for the pastor to say the magic words, whatever they were, and I took those elements, thinking, oh good, the day is almost over. I took those elements, and something happened to me. I felt something that I would describe almost as an electric feeling going through my body. And I looked up and down the rail to see if anybody else was having that experience. If anybody else was feeling that, had something shorted in the church, what was it? It was strong and it was powerful. It was strong and it was powerful. The pastor blessed us and I got up and I started back the center aisle to get to my seat. And I felt something deep within my heart. I knew that God loved me, even me. I knew that. I'd always had said it, but I knew it. I knew it deep within. Was I in the right mood to take communion that day? No. But did God's grace work in me anyway? Yes. It was a powerful time for me. If that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be standing before you today. I wouldn't be here leading this church. I wouldn't be here as a pastor, sharing what I believe to be the work of the Holy Spirit in me that moment. I believe that that was the Holy Spirit in that communion time, that the Spirit filled me and assured me of God's love, even for a cranky young mother, especially for a cranky young mother. I knew then the work of the Spirit. Now, I don't know how you're coming to communion today. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how the morning started out. I don't know if you're in the right spot for communion or not. I don't know if you'd meet all of Paul's requirements, but I know this. In a little bit, we'll move to communion. And when you come, will you open yourself to the movement of the Holy Spirit? Because when Jesus said, remember me, I don't think he just meant remember me. He meant remember and feel and know who I am and what I can do for you. Be open to the Holy Spirit. See what that Spirit can do for you. Feel the energy, feel the love, feel God's grace. That's what communion is for me. That's what it does for me. That's what it reminds me of. When you come to communion, be open to that understanding and knowledge. Will you have an aha moment today? I pray you will. You might not, but I pray you will. Will the Spirit move within you? I pray that it will. But you know what? The Spirit will move in someone today. Help pray that for them. Help make that so for them so that they can understand and know God's grace and love in their own lives, just as you might experience that. On this World Communion Sunday, you're all welcome to the table. You're all welcome here, and you are all going to find something. When we come to the time of serving communion, I want to try something just a little bit different today. When we come to the time of communion after the litany, I'd like to invite you to serve the person behind you in line. The cup can stay on the table, and there's gluten-free in the silver, but the bread basket, will you take a piece of bread and after you receive communion, turn and offer the basket to the person in line behind you. You can offer them the body and blood of Christ, or the cup of Christ, or the cup of love, or hope, or the new covenant, the bread of life, whatever words feel right to you, or you can just remind them Jesus loves them. So it'll be a little different. It's not the way we normally do communion, but today let's remember the community that we sit among. The community that is here to lift you up in God's Spirit. Let's join together in this communion litany. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You created for yourself a world filled with diversity and blessed by your breath of life. Rainbow colors bloom in the spring. Summer breezes bring garden delight. And now, as autumn comes our way, we see the work of your paintbrush upon every face and every tree. In mercy, while we still held to the chains of our winter of pride, of self-righteousness, and historic egos, you loved us steadfastly and delivered us as babies to reflect the beauty and diversity of your grace, to bring us into a community of love, hope, and peace. And so, with all your people on earth, and every place where two or more are gathered in your name, and all the company of heaven who had gone before us, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him and us to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Jesus healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As he prayed that we might be one with him, we might be one with him as he is one with you, God. And he asked that we might be known by thy love we have for one another. On the night that Jesus gave himself up, he gathered the disciples together in community and invited the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and love, to descend upon the bread. Pour out your Spirit on this bread to make it be for all who would partake of it, the body of Christ. And he broke the bread and he offered it to the disciples, and they ate from it. And he said, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." And when they had finished the dinner, he took the cup and again he offered it. Pour out your Spirit on this cup, O Lord. Pour out your Spirit that each person would find your grace, your love, and your new covenant. And he said, "Drink from this cup as often as you will in remembrance of me." And so in this reminder of your mighty acts on earth, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the great mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
We remember the invitation. We remember the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We remember that Jesus came and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We come to the time of receiving communion. And remember, I would invite you to turn to your neighbor, whoever's behind you in line, and offer them the bread. If you feel yourself in need of prayer this morning, Carol is here in this front pew, ready to hear and pray with you. I invite you to come, to be a part, and to join us in communion. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come from your table filled. We come from interacting with one another, and while sometimes our line, oh God, may be amiss, sometimes it didn't work the way we thought it should, yet we reach to each other. Continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we would come to know you, be energized by you, and understand how that we are to reach to each other, how your grace extends to us no matter how our day was, no matter who we are or how we have behaved. Help us to know, God, that you are present in this place as we leave your table. Amen. To sing our closing hymn. Go from this place filled with God's love and grace. Know that no matter how you come, you leave filled differently. Go in peace. Amen.